and the second game back to back that is a sequel prequel.
Sequel prequel.
I love that we're spending so much time.
I hate
on
both
this
of
topic.
Those words now.
It's my favorite.
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name is Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 331. Do you want to share why you're mad?
Why are you angry?
It's just a part of your character today.
Just continue.
No!
It has to be a thing.
It does have to be a thing. Don't growl at the top of our episode and get on to us for asking questions. Listen, it is time once again to play everyone's favorite game. What are you playing right now? In this week's edition of What Are You Playing Right Now, we take a look at Kenny's awful gaming habits and we find out if Nolan is still stuck playing Path of Exile. Kenny, we'll start with you. What are you currently playing?
So you know how Nolan's a bad influence on everyone around him?
Yeah.
Path of Exile.
For real?
Yeah, I got him to play. But this isn't fair because the last time you asked was roughly 3 months ago, which was the last Path of Exile League at launch.
Whatever.
Which just happened. So, of course, I'm playing nothing but Path of Exile. Played it right up to this episode. I'm going to play it when it's done. And I'm grinding and getting rich.
Not in real life.
No, of course not. But in the game?
Yeah. I've seen you streaming a lot, and you're not streaming even, half of your actual game time?
No, not even a third. It's just, it goes all into the night. It's not good.
And it has taken over your life.
Yeah, but just for a bit. It's a league launch. I'll get tired of it. But Kenny is playing, and it's good.
Kenny, that's the only game you're playing right now?
Yeah, primarily. It's kind of taken over everything else. I had dabbled but in other things, but I fell off the wagon on all of them when this one got me.
What a lame segment then. I'll have to bring it up when we're playing more interesting
are
things.
You playing Path of Exile?
I'm not playing Path of Exile.
You should.
What are you playing after saying our games are lame?
All right. I am playing a game called Kakarot.
I watched you play a little.
Is it that good?
Yeah, you showed up at an awkward time, Kenny, honestly.
Underwear?
It was so awkward.
There's a lot of adult humor in Dragon Ball.
In Dragon Ball, the first, the kids, there's a lot of sexual stuff that's not okay. Yeah. It's like minors and stuff.
Yeah, and straight up nudity and things like that. Our game last week, I think it was, has got me onto the Dragon Ball Z world, and I wanted to play a better Dragon Ball Z game than last week, so I started playing Kakarot, and I'm still in it. I'm in the Frieza saga. It's fun because I watched the Saiyan arc, the show, so I knew what was happening there. I didn't watch beyond that, so while I'm familiar with the big baddies, I'm not familiar with a lot of the story that happens there, so I'm getting to play it and experience it for the first time, and it's fun.
Do you get to play all the sagas? Like, is Cell after the Frieza? Yeah. Nice. Yeah. That's a lot of game.
It's a lot of game. Yeah.
Nice.
I've already put in a good, 10, 12, 15 hours. And I'm maybe about halfway through the Frieza saga. So,
GG.
Still got a long way to go.
You should play Path of Exile.
I don't think I'd like it.
Okay.
Tonight, Kara and I, or my wife and I, are starting a game called Dead Space, I think is what it's called.
Oh,
it's a scary space.
Well,
came out in 2008.
Well loved.
Yes, it's great. It's like
expansive
so
series. Supposed to be kind of scary, and so we're looking.
They're remaking it soon too.
That is true, and that's fire.
What?
You don't think that's on brand? What?
Oh, okay. It took me a second. I'm with you.
You got
now.
Any? You got any questions?
All right, you should have stopped after
you.
The
you
one.
Got to go all away.
I'm really nonsense. Not going to be on this episode if you don't stop.
I'll start over the episode.
Yeah,
if you
I'd
want
much
to.
Rather do that.
All right, we'll start over in our retro game of the week, Gargoyles Quest 2.
Overview.
Gargoyle's Quest DOS, The Demon Darkness, is an NES game that came out in 1992 by Capcom, the good old days. While the game does have platforming elements, it's categorized as an action-adventure game. I'll add to that, it also has RPG-like traits, but it's all of those things.
It's a platformer. It's a platformer.
Yeah, of course, but it's also those other things, which I think is quite unique. But we have a prequel on our hands. Kenny,
sequel prequel.
No, it's a sequel.
Rate prequels, Kenny?
I mean, is it a sequel that's a prequel? Because if so, awesome.
Yes.
If it's a prequel, it's half as good as the first game in the series.
Are prequels not always sequels?
They are. They tend to be. They don't always have to be, honestly. But they tend to be, which someone in our Discord brought up.
Yes, I have that.
Because we're having that conversation regarding Lufia 2.
Yeah.
But they're not always direct sequels.
Well, also, we know what prequels are. They were saying we don't know what prequels are.
Right. That's not true. We know what prequels are.
That's not the case.
But it's not always the direct sequel. So like Lufia 2, Gargoyle Quest 2. Usually that's not what the situation is.
Yeah. No, it's a unique thing. The story is the prequel. But this is the second Gargoyle's Quest to release.
And the second game back-to-back that is a sequel prequel.
Sequel prequel.
I love that we're spending so much time on this topic.
I hate both of
those
words now.
It's my favorite.
And I said in a row, and that's not true because we did play the Dragon Ball game last week, but Lufia 2 was a sequel prequel, and this one's a sequel prequel as well.
Yes. In addition to that, it is also a spin-off from another game that we've played on the show called Ghosts and Goblins.
Yeah, episode 254 with Kang Gaming. Kang? We had him come in, and he was the one that wanted us to play because it was a game that he played growing up, but he hadn't played it for about 10, 20 years.
Yeah, he didn't replay it for the show. He was just like, y'all played this week?
we got to suffer through like the hardest game of all time.
Right, that is the premise. Yeah, join us and talk about a game, but yeah.
Yeah, and that game is very hard. It's also very iconic for that reason. So I feel like an idiot, but I didn't know this was part of that series. And maybe I'd never even heard of Gargoyle's Quest. Had y'all?
I had tangentially heard about it. I don't think just by title alone you would know that it's connected because it doesn't have the same kind of formula.
Right.
Like Ghosts and Goblins, and then there's Ghouls, and, ghouls and
Ghosts.
Ghosts? So you would get that, but Gargoyle Quest by name alone, I don't think you would make the connection.
Sure.
If you had told me there was a game by this name from the 90s, I would not have assumed like spawning off of that series in the early
cartoon.
90s, I would assume later 90s, and
heck,
that it was like that cartoon series
translated
to a game, which actually could have been pretty sick.
Yeah, sure.
The purple,
but it wasn't that.
The purple gargoyles, their purple skin.
Yeah, yes. And it's a great show.
There are games, there are gargoyle video games, and there are some on our retro master list.
Ooh.
So maybe someday.
Maybe we'll get one. Now I'm excited for it.
These games were created based on one of the enemies in Ghosts and Goblins, right?
Yeah, which I think is amazing.
That's great.
Because it was one of the biggest pestering enemies from the series.
Like
it was the one that everyone remembers as being so annoying.
Sick.
So ghosts and goblins just invented gargoyles then?
like, not one person thought that that's what we were meaning nor saying. But there is a specific kind of gargoyle, this red gargoyle. In this game, its name is Firebrand.
Firebrand.
But I think it was called something else in the original games. But I think colloquially it was just called the Red Devil, right? Or Red Demon?
Probably.
Red Devil.
Like just a Japanese translation, Red Devil, yeah.
This annoying thing. Remember recently when we were together, didn't we try playing Ghosts and Goblins again?
Yeah,
we did.
We tried playing the SNES one and sucked so bad.
That was a bad idea.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's very hard. So we'll see if this one was for us this week. But the story of this game, there is story. Firebrand, as you said, it's a really cool name. The protagonist trains daily What, Kenny? You want me to say
it's
he's
the worst
an
name?
No, Firebrand is
a
sick
name. Were you being sarcastic? No, it's a terrible name.
Firebrand, the cool name, trains daily to be the true warrior. One day, the king of his realm sends him to the training grounds room to be named the true warrior. But when he gets back, the black light has struck down the king and wiped out the town. You then get a fingernail and go to try and save the rest of the realm. But you do That's get story beats along the way. Like it doesn't just leave it at that, which I thought was kind of interesting.
I also, and it'll be my last connection to this game, okay, but I also thought it was interesting and ironic that this is 100 years before the first game, before Gargoyle's Quest, and Luthia yeah. 2 was 99 years before okay. its first game.
Same game.
I think it's the same game.
Gameplay.
You said it's an action-adventure game. You said it's an RPG, or it's got some RGB elements.
RGB.
RGB, and then you said it's a platformer.
Yes.
Kenny was shaking his head no, and I tend to agree with Kenny for the first time ever in my life with what seems to be his thoughts there, because yes, while there are some characteristics and traits of action-adventure and RPG, those are just characteristics, not the actual qualities that make it either of those kinds of games, and it is, for all intents and purposes, in my opinion, a platform.
I think that's where it shines the most, but I think you get so much of the other things I named in between, enough of them, not so much, but enough of them that you can't ignore them in, when you're trying to describe the genre of this game.
Here's what I think happened. Capcom created a kind of unique platformer where your character lives in this sort of ghoulish universe by being a gargoyle and having wings and gets to like fly around. We'll talk about some of that eventually because that's kind of cool. And they were like, okay, well, let's give it some story and a little bit of atmosphere. And then they had one guy on the team who the only thing he'd ever made was an RPG, but he really wanted to help kind of like create some ambiance. So they were like, great, why don't you work on the portions in between the platforming? And then they had an intern whose previous job was writing fortune cookies. And they were like, why don't you come up with a story for this game? And by their powers combined, you get Gargoyle's Quest 2.
Gargoyle, first of all. Second of all, Quest. I hate Kenny lore.
Everyone knows it's all true.
Tonight is just something special for Kenny. I don't know what he's celebrating. Maybe it's the fact that he's about to go to the lake within less than 24 hours. He'll be out tanning his belly for Memorial Day weekend.
He is. I know he is.
But you don't want people to know you're going to the lake?
No, I'm getting out of my house, but not to the lake.
Oh, yeah? You've got other places to go? You're such an important person. similar to Firebrand, who he's getting out of the house, and so in between these platforming sections, it's got this overworld that you are traversing, an overworld with no random encounters and no extra or different places to go other than the next location. And when you get to that location, you'll enter into a city or a castle or a town that is reminiscent of some early JRPGs, where you've got a few characters around, NPCs, you've got a few houses that you can go into, most of them are completely empty.
Yeah, that was
weird. Then you've got only one house that is important to go into, because that will give you forward the story a little bit.
Yes, and there aren't random encounters, but there are encounters. And you do fight in order to progress through them. I think that's enough to not ignore. Y'all are like, no, it's just a platformer. That's not true.
I'm not saying, no. I agree with you. We don't ignore it. We talk about it. But I don't think it is worth highlighting, at least not in a positive way.
Oh, I definitely
are you talking about where you find an enemy on the map, because there's maybe four on the whole map, and you interact with them, and then you can go into a preset battle where you just have to take out three enemies, and then that ends the stage
in a platforming style. We're not saying that's a bad thing. We're just trying to call a spade a spade. Like, this game isn't an adventure game or an RPG game. It's a platformer with a little bit of like.
It's all three of those things, and you're dressing. Smoking if you disagree.
Kenny's smoking over there.
Like, and what I guess are you
saying?
Pass
it over here, Kenny, because yeah. I agree with you. There's no overworld encounter, so there's no point of having an overworld. It just kind of extends the gameplay just a little bit so that you can get lost and or move to the next location. You can do some of those battles, but there's no reason to because you're not getting experience. You can't level up.
No, but some of them are blocking the way, so it's just part of the progress. Like, there's one blocking a bridge. There's one that's blocking a pathway. Like,
but those aren't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those battles against enemies. The ones that talking about are little platform stages.
There are breaks from the top-down view of the game, which is more game than y'all are leading on.
Nolan really wants this to be a role-playing game because he's.
I don't. I'm describing the game.
Since he was 8.
There's Kenny and Laura.
All right, it's a platformer only.
Oh.
Convinced him.
You're progressing from town to town, town to castle, castle across bridge, castle into cave, and you're really all you're doing is going from like one kingdom to the next. And in that, you're having to do little missions to get a candle that can like unlock a curse on a king or find a stick or a branch that can do something but a lot of it is really just it's fluff to help you power up your character enough. And so throughout you've got your nail or fingernail, you've got I think that's what they call your attack, you've got your armor, your shielding, and then you've got your wings. And those three things are upgraded over time where you get a few different attacks from your finger, you've got a few different levels of health or armor, which really is just like more hearts to your life, and then you've got your wing that is upgraded also with your jump, so how high you can jump, and your wings is how long you can stay in the air. And it's got a very unique thing there with the wing bar. That's a huge mechanic because as it goes down, that's the length of time that you have to float in the air.
The wing thing really is the key definer here, I think.
Key definer.
Because
yeah.
Absolutely.
Other than the JRPG in adventure,
I will continue talking about it if y'all want, because you're so wrong and everyone would agree.
No, just go to the wings.
No, I'm good.
Oh, no.
It's an RPG. It is also an adventure game. It's a top-down view. There are some platforming.
If you didn't play this week and can't picture what it looks like when a gargoyle flies, let's enlighten you. You can jump, and then your wings can make you float. But since you're made of stone, you're too heavy to actually like fly up really. And so you jump and fall, and at any point you want to like hover, you can hover and go left and right for a limited amount of time, which is a really interesting way of moving around these sort of kind of puzzly, sort of maze-like platforms where you're figuring out how to get from point A to point B and, you know, do whatever story thing you're supposed to be doing that's terribly written.
One note in there, there's a few notes in there. One note is that, I'm sorry that you only have one idea of what a gargoyle is in your mind, but Firebrand is not made of stone. He's clearly got red skin.
He's not
the traditional gargoyle that you're thinking of. He's a different kind of gargoyle.
No, gargoyles are made of stone.
He's not a statue.
No, of course not. Of course not. And also, the gargoyles from the animated show are only temporarily made of stone. Then they have flesh also. But this gargoyle is not. He is made of flesh. But a lot of the rest of that was good. Nolan, the wing stuff was interesting to watch you discover in the first play. Because it is not... It's so interesting because other games don't do this kind of button control, don't expect this or require this, and so it wasn't normal for you at first. It didn't seem to be, and you were trying to figure out how to jump, hold, let go, you know, repress the button again, and you're trying to figure all of that out in the first play, and it was interesting to watch you figure that out. You finally, near the end of the first play, kind of were starting to get a hang of it. It looked like,
yeah, it's funny now because it's simple. Like once you know
but
how to
foreign.
Do it.
It's foreign. It's not normal. It's not normal to our regular experience when it comes to NES titles.
Like at first you're like, what am I even doing? But if you tap the jump button midair, you'll stay in a hover state and then you can move left and right. I was thinking jump and hold, or I was thinking like tap repeatedly to like flap your wings. But once you get it down, it's very simple, and I think it is really fun. It's a fun and different platforming experience than like a typical like time your jumps with moving platforms. While both of those things are in this game, like latching onto the walls is this new thing. And at first, when I was in that stage, I was worried. That the stages would be uninspired because the first two stages are very simple and a little lackluster, but they open up quite a bit. They get pretty large and challenging, but they're really fun to navigate because of that flying mechanic. I ended up enjoying it.
Yeah, and it would be really easy to not build good levels around that. But they were great about knowing exactly how much time you could float, whether to let you actually pass something or have to, you know, figure out a clever way to like grab on this other thing and then jump and fly somewhere else. And so as much as flying over the level feels real, I don't know, like Super Mario 3 overpowered, where you just like fly and then beat the whole level, the levels are designed around this mechanic, and Yeah, I agree, Nolan.
Didn't feel overpowered.
It's pretty unique, and it's relatively satisfying.
One of the things that I thought was cool is that your ammunition, for lack of better words, was upgraded over time. And so you start with a kind of little pea shooter. Mm-hmm. It turns into this magic buster boomerang kind of thing. It doesn't come back to you, but it really is in the shape of a boomerang. And it's more powerful, and then it's able to like destroy some crumbling blocks from time to time. Yep. You've got another upgrade that... I guess one of the big upgrades is this magic tornado that... doesn't really project far. It's pretty close to you, but it gives you another platform. And so you can have two platforms out at a time, and it gives you greater verticality or allows you to move over a lava pit or something like that.
And they designed around the need for that thing so well.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not just an upgrade to make you stronger. It's an upgrade to be able to complete the next stage.
Right. Yeah, it's like... Yeah, it's a progression thing. Like, and jump height too was another big one. Like, jump height's nice. Like, those kinds of upgrades are nice in platformers, but in this one, it's like so nice because it just changes the way that you play a little bit. Because jump height is a thing. You can do short ones if you need, or you can do like tall ones eventually, like really tall jumps. And yeah, I think they designed around them quite well. But the projectile thing was good. Like, the combat's fine. I just think it takes a back seat compared to just moving around. But it did feel like Ghosts and Goblins in the sense that enemies will spawn on you, and if you scroll the screen, they'll be back. And so,
yep.
But not as punishing as Ghosts and Goblins. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you can tell, though, that it's in that series because of the way the enemies behave.
Yeah. And if we haven't said already, the platform is not, Nolan, in your first play, you thought maybe I'm collecting these vials, and when I collect them all, the stage ends, because that is how the first stage ends, but not how any other stage ends. You're getting to the end of the stage, going into a door entryway, and you're fighting a boss.
Yeah.
And so you've got about, I don't know, 5-6 bosses maybe in this game, and they all interact differently, but you're just slamming your missile into them over.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like,
simple.
Yeah, that's what you're doing, but they all operate differently. They play different. And so that is the platforming section. Can we go back to Nolan's favorite part and to talk a little bit further? Because one of the things that does set this game apart from other platformers is the in-between. That rather than going from stage to stage, like in Ghosts and Goblins and a lot of traditional platformers, they give you this stuff in between. That I don't fully know what the intention was behind it, because there's not shops in the villages where you can like buy or sell armor, weapons, which you can in a lot of RPGs. There's not any, you know, like reoccurring characters or any like story that's being built out that way.
They drop things like you have decisions about where you're going to go, or like there's clues and you got to like figure out the world. But then the world all ends up being pretty much just linear, where you can really only go to the next place anyways. And so it definitely seems like more of a, I don't know, world building, storytelling, give a break from the platforming to just sort of give a different experience choice. I don't think it was bad. I do think it was poorly implemented and could have been a little bit more robust, and it would have been more meaningful.
It's the driving factor for getting from stage to stage. And I think the reason we're hung up on it is because no other games did that. And
right.
But you can, and it's fine. I do think it's a storytelling thing, Kenny. I don't think it's much else outside of that. But it's like a world building thing, and I think it's fine. I actually really liked it because it, and straight platformers are fine. I play plenty of them, and just going from stage to stage is fine. But being able to break it up was nice. And no, there wasn't like, I like main objectives, really. It was all just go to the next place. But I think that's fine.
In my mind, the concept is a unique one and a fine one to make. I just take a little bit of umbrage with their implementation. It just is kind of stale.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thing. I just don't know if it added anything for me. In the first game, Gargoyle's Quest, they have an overworld and there are random encounters. But also that doesn't really make sense because you're not getting experience like you would in a JRPG with random encounters. So it's like it's just kind of fluff, you know? And so I don't think it took away from anything. I'm not saying that, but I don't know for me if it added anything. It felt like it was trying to put in a different genre that didn't fully fit or meld for me. One last thing here, difficulty. I think we mentioned, but did you feel like it was as difficult as Ghosts and Goblins? Not even close.
Not even close.
Nothing is.
Well,
okay.
I mean, some things are that hard that aren't in that series, but this is not even close. Like, it's so doable, and the other game's so not.
I felt like there were a few unnecessary jumps, like uncalled for, not completely fair jumps that you really had to time well and make yourself drop and then drop again so that you had enough to be able to get across. I didn't love that. The boss patterns, you kind of have to learn those or you're going to die a few times. But I didn't feel like anything was impossible here.
No, the hardest part on some of the stages was not being able to see below you. Because there are spikes literally everywhere in the game. And so like, if you couldn't see, you're probably going to fall on spikes. So you'd have to like plan around that and kind of hug a wall. But once you learn that, it's not like, I don't know, it's just not as hard. It's not hard.
Not near as hard.
Yeah.
Aged.
1992 is late.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo's already out.
Yeah, SNES was out.
Which is fine. And so I think the age helps. I mean, typically when a game, not always, but when a game comes out later in a console's lifespan, it has the ability to take everything from the previous years, all the things they've learned, and make a great.
We definitely see that sometimes. Yeah.
But still, it's still impressive. Like,
there were elements of that here.
Yeah.
I thought some of the things they did visually, especially, were pretty top notch for the NES.
Yeah, the platforming sections, I think, looked good. I think they could have used some parallax scrolling. I think they were doing some of that in late NES. Maybe not. Maybe that's only Super Nintendo. But still, the backgrounds, the foregrounds, each of the environments looked different enough. And it's hard because when you have that macabre macabre setting. It could tend to all look the same, but they didn't. They were able to do some unique things. Colors were bright. Yeah, I thought it looked good.
Variety is what I'll... That was the big thing for me, was seeing the backgrounds be so different and so detailed. That's what sets it apart from a lot of games. Like, the graphics were well above average. Like, and I don't know why I expected lower, but like, some of the best. And yeah, the colors, the splash screen, so good. Pink, like hot pink, green, and blue. That sounds terrible, and it looks so sick. And then you've got the theme appropriate music playing behind it. It looked really good.
I don't think I don't think the stuff outside of the platforming looks great.
It looks different. It kind of looks like a different game, but it still looks
good. You're starting to agree with us a little bit.
Bright colors, very bright colors.
Where? Like, everywhere. In towns or on the world map?
Both. The lava instead of water. I loved that.
Yeah, that's great. I did get some slowdown due to when you're trying to do all of that graphical stuff and then you've got like more than two enemies on the screen, it slows down, and that frustrates platforming games because you're needing it to be accurate. So that only happened a few times, but it was noticeable and frustrating.
Yeah. I know part of this is the thing that we've already talked about too much, the nature of whether it's at all an RPG. But I booted this game up and saw that sort of like overworld view, you know, like top down, I'm running around in a town kind of vibe. And I expected I was about to have to put 20 hours into this game. It's relatively short.
Oh, yeah. 3 hours.
If that.
Yeah. Right.
It's
with,
quick.
With learning and failing and figuring it out on your own.
Not a lengthy game, because it's not. It's a platformer. It's an early platformer.
Yeah, that's
not,
like, not unheard of. Like, you know, there were plenty of.
I think you say that you get in and you're like, is this an RPG? I mean, when you start in Nolan and you don't start in a platformer. You start in an RPG like setting, and so you're like, what game am I about to play? And you might get the vibe that this is going to be a 10, 12, 15 hour game. And then you realize, no, it's a platformer.
No.
There's also, when we're just looking at, like, age, there's also this sort of just general, like, appeal thing to me that I think matters. I feel like everybody wants to strap a Buster gun on their arm and go, like, jump around and be Mega Man. I think there's this sort of, like, iconic association with the hero that we do a lot of times. And a gargoyle that sort of turns into this weird red blazed overpowered supernatural like fight against a black light is just weird and hard for me to care about.
What
you need humans perfect, weren't invented yet.
It's the perfect anti-hero. He's just as iconic as freaking Knight guy from Ghosts.
Knight Rider.
You don't like him?
No.
You don't like his name either.
He's got something against Firebrand. He also thinks he's made of stone.
Gargoyles work.
I liked Firebrand. I thought it was a great idea to create a spin-off where you are the, you know, the most annoying villain of the original
game.
And
then there's a boss that mimics that enemy from Ghosts and Goblins and does the same attack, and you're
swoop
just like
attack.
Yeah, and so it just pisses you off again.
I would have loved if, and maybe they did this in Gargoyle's Quest, I don't know, since this was set 100 years prior. I bet it was because of what happened, some dialogue that happens at the end. But I would have loved to be able to go and frustrate humans, because like that's the reverse of Ghosts and Goblins.
That would
but
be sick.
Since this takes place 100 years before the first one, I think that's probably what happens in the original. In this one, humans aren't around yet. They're not invented yet.
Right.
And so you're just dealing with other monsters. But no, I mean, yeah, I gotta disagree with Kenny there. I do think you don't necessarily need it since it's a short game, but like being able to play it, put it down, and come back to it is difficult to do without save states, because there's no save system. It's only a password system, and I think there's only two passwords in the entire game.
Really? I didn't
realize there were that few.
Yeah.
That is a little frustrating.
I always dislike password systems just because...
Just in general?
Yeah, just... I don't know why. I just don't like the idea. Because you used to have to like write that down on a piece of paper, but...
It's so linear that I feel like they don't need save states because you can just drop yourself into a point in the game at any point. And that's where you're going to be. It's not like you're going to have a different set of equipment on one character than the other. And so... I get why they feel like they could. I still don't like it. I'm with you guys. It's kind of just icky. But it makes sense here in terms of the type of game that it is.
Nolan, you mentioned the music on the splash screen. Did you like the music throughout the rest of the game?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Thought it had plenty of tracks. Even on the title screen, there are two different tracks. Like the main one, and then you hit start to go to the next screen, and it changes. And yeah, all on theme. I really like this theme. It just
Castlevania vibes.
Yeah, like you're the bad guy, but also not. And it just, I don't know, it just kind of fit. I really like the music, and it sounded good for NES quality music. Like yeah. It sounded really top notch.
The opening numbers worked for me. I felt like some of the rest were not my favorite. It almost felt like they were trying to do things beyond what the NES was capable of, and I don't know. So the music was all right. It wasn't bad, and I'm fine with people liking it, but it wasn't my very favorite.
I brought him up before. I actually shared his track with you this week, Michael J., one of our community members.
Yep.
His latest remix is a banger.
It's so good.
Now that I will listen to.
It's top of the charts, man. He took Ghoul Dwelling, the song from the OST that is good, and remixed it from the ground up, put in some like spooky animal noises and forest noises, and put in a bass line, and it's really good.
It really is great. Like, you should go check it out.
Something unique happened with this game, actually. So Gargoyle's Quest 2, as we've already mentioned, came out on the NES, but about a year later, it was ported to the Game Boy, and it's supposedly an enhanced version with a few new stages and bosses.
Huh? I don't see that being the case.
Like, upgrading it for the Game Boy is...
Never heard that one before. Isn't the first one on Game Boy?
Yes.
Okay, so... That's you don't upgrade from NES to Game
right.
Boy. What?
Interesting choice.
Sure you do.
There's other games in this meta series, right? So Ghosts and Goblins started in 1985, Ghouls and Ghosts in 88. Then you've got Gargoyle's Quest and Gargoyle's Quest 2, Demon's Crest after that, and some more. In fact, in 2021, just this last year, Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
So they were able to resurrect the series.
I remember
with that, so.
Seeing someone stream that.
If you do want a copy of this NES game, it's expensive, guys.
I know, it's
kind of really cool. It's $136 used or $1,217 new.
Whoa.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? If you just have a used copy that is in decent enough condition to play, that's $136.
That's way above average for stuff we
way
hear
above
about
average.
On the show. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Are we sure it's not just inflation? Everything's more expensive.
Gas and Gargoyle's Quest are
gas expensive. And Gargoyle's Quest.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It doesn't require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Kenny, Nolan, and Dustin in that order, starting with Kenny, the Firebrand hater.
Yeah, terrible character. That said, this one's a pretty lukewarm yes from me. I think it's novel in a lot of interesting ways, and the game is pretty consistent in what it's trying to be, but there's lots of sort of smoke and mirrors and attempts to make things look robust that really aren't. It's just a fairly basic but good enough platformer. Though it's not particularly interesting. Good game on a couple fronts, not a standout. Even so, I think enough people will be glad they picked it up overall to still recommend it, but it's not one I'd like run out to go play. So yes, NGP, but kind of with a meh on it.
God.
I want to uppercut you so bad.
He can have his opinions. He can have his decent.
I disagree with
opinions.
Everything Kenny just said.
Oh, so you're not giving it New Game Plus?
Except for that. This is so embarrassing that you described it that way. This game is so much more than what you just said. It is in my top 10 for the NES now, for sure.
Whoa!
Wow.
Y'all shouldn't be wowing. I don't know what. I don't know what Dustin's opinion is, but Kenny calling this lukewarm is offensive. This game was. I fell in love with this game. It's a great platformer because it is different. You're not just running and gunning, or running and slashing, or running and whipping. You're flying creatively through a stage that is designed in a way to be navigated that way, which is novel. And then in between, you get breaks of an action-adventure game. Whether or not you thought it was great or not, it is an interesting mashup that wasn't done before. And this is 1992. Sure, you late in the console's life, but still, you have to give it up. That is very impressive and very cool. I think this is a fantastic game. And I'm so mad at Kenny. It gets New Game Plus.
For giving it his vote.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve to give this New Game Plus. That's what I'm mad about. You don't get to give that vote.
It is remarkable that you enjoyed it that much, Nolan. I think that will surprise a lot of people. But that's great. I love to hear that. For me, I've said it a lot of times when we play platforming games. I don't need much to enjoy a platformer. It needs to be difficult but reasonable. And then I either need to be able to upgrade my character throughout the game or have variable stage design. The character or the stages need to be evolving over time so that it gives some variety to gameplay. And this game has those things. I do think the overworld is pointless, and I think this would have been just as good, if not a better game without it. But I agree with Nolan that it is a different platformer, and not just because of the overworld stuff, but because of the way that Firebrand handles. And I think giving him the upgrades and having variety to stage design was a lot of fun. And then on that final drive, the final stage and boss, giving you full wing where it's limitless and a very powerful power-up just makes you feel like you have become a better gargoyle. And so I definitely give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
Boss was hard though.
Oh yeah, that boss was hard. A few of the bosses were easy, but that boss was hard. I actually found a rhythm though, so after like my fourth attempt, it was I didn't even get hit. But so it's funny, Nolan's all the way at the top, I'm somewhere in the middle, and Kenny is just passable, and Nolan's mad
Kenny
at that.
Said
but
no, he didn't give it New Game Plus as far as I'm concerned.
I most certainly did.
Gargoyle's Quest 2 is New Game Plus certified, but what did you think? We had 271 votes on YouTube. 27% said yes, it's worth playing today. 7% no, and 66% never played.
Good spread.
Nolan's going to hunt down those 7%.
That's not, yeah, 7's low enough that it's like you can ignore them. They're just trolling.
Why do you think 66% haven't played? You think they aren't retro gamers and they just follow us because we make fire TikToks?
Yes.
Okay.
Fire brand TikTok. It's a good joke. It's topical.
You don't get to say that it's good.
So we had many people write in that played along the game. Played along this week with us. Games with Dad said, Gargoyle's Quest 2 has always been one of those games that I've heard was good, but never found the time to really dig into. Finally dove in this week, and I'm truly glad I did. It's much more of a methodical platformer than, say, Mario, and I quite enjoyed the adventure RPG elements. Sure, the translation isn't the greatest, but for me, that added to the charm. I do prefer this SNES sequel, Demon's Crest, to this, but this is one of the better action platformers on the NES, and that is no easy feat.
What was that typo early on? Or it's not a typo, it's just incorrect grammar. I forgot what it was. I read it in the first
place. Super early on.
First one, I was like, bad. Oh, no.
But all throughout, and sometimes words they forgot a space.
Yeah.
Like, all the way through, it's like, they did not. I mean, they could have had a translating team do better than this. Clint said, I give my nod of approval to the bitter, hard G&G back when we had Kang as a guest. Mm. Of course, when we play a spiritual sequel to this, which is so drastically improved, it's also going to be a big yes from me. The platforming and such are leagues nicer than I'm used to in an NES platformer, mm-hmm. and combat feels fair as well. My biggest problem is that the music is not slamming like I expect from Capcom. Very disappointing.
Very disappointing? Why?
Yeah,
I thought it was Capcom quality for sure.
For sure. It's not It's not Mega Man because it's a different kind of vibe.
It's a different vibe, yeah. I don't know.
I didn't get hits. Super Gamer Guy said, Gargoyle's Quest is often overlooked in favor for its parent series, and that's a real shame. While the Ghosts and Goblins games are known for their excruciating difficulty and double playthroughs. Double playthroughs.
Yeah, like when you beat it, you remember it's mode. Like you didn't really beat it, noob, and then it makes you go back and do it hard mode or something.
And
yeah,
do it a second time.
That's not good. The Gargoyle Quest trilogy features challenging but fair level design and smooth gameplay. Gargoyle's Quest 2 specifically is the best of the bunch. Not only does it avoid the odd design flaws of its sequel, but it also improves upon the groundwork laid out in its Game Boy predecessor. Impressive visuals, solid gameplay, puzzle-like level design, and upbeat music all combine to make one heck of an RPG platformer. It's not a perfect title. I struggled with the game's pacing at times, but it's good enough for me to give a modest recommendation. NGP from me this week, and I encourage others to look beyond what the Ghosts and Goblins franchise offers at a surface level.
I gotta play that Game Boy one. Like, I wonder if it's the same, just... black and white?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Actually, I've heard critics say that Gargoyle's Quest 2 wasn't that great because they didn't really do much different than the Game Boy one.
Wow, that's got to be an impressive Game Boy game then.
I do think speeds were shifted, so your overworld speed, you're very slow, and your platforming speed, you're very fast, which was the opposite for this game.
Yeah, interesting.
Weird.
Nolan, I wish you would have streamed. I mean, I was surprised that you even played this game this week because of all the time I've seen you play APOE.
Well, thankfully,
I would have liked
to watch
you play Gargoyle's Quest 2.
If it wouldn't have been that short, I wouldn't have. And I wanted to keep it a secret. I don't know. It's sometimes like, I don't know. I just kept it to myself.
One thing I do want to ask, if you had to pick, there's no conversation outside of, you just needed to say which one. Did you enjoy Gargoyle's Quest 2 more or Ghosts and Goblins more?
Easily this game.
Kenny?
I'm going to say Ghosts and Goblins. Although you didn't get past the first level. The difficulty of that game.
You're saying
and
more.
Gave up. Okay, I'm going to say Super Ghosts and Goblins and not answer your question.
That sounds on brand. Firebrand.
Firebrand.
I am going to say Gargoyle's Quest 2. Easy, yeah. Finally, Shane said Gargoyle's Quest 2 was a surprise to me. I've always kind of just avoided NES games as a rule.
Bad choice.
Sorry, read that again?
I've always kind of just avoided NES games as a rule.
Let me help you there.
That's a bad rule.
Please check out the games, dude.
Just assume that they're too difficult and have too many archaic things that have improved on since. Both of those are not wrong, which is probably usually true, but playing this one improved my save states to effectively remove lives, made it a very enjoyable and playable game to me. So much so that I might try some more NES games this way.
Nice.
Even without save states, I can tell that it isn't nearly as bad as some of the games of the era. There's lots of ways to buy lives, pretty decent checkpointing, and very generous saving. If you game over, you keep any progress you made so you can use it as a death warp, which is lovely. Early on, I realized this game was similar to Zelda 2, with 2D platformer dungeons and top-down scrolling elsewhere. To some dismay, since I have little good memories of that game, but after playing, I'm thinking of revisiting and seeing if me being older, it's more understandable. NGP status for me, for sure.
I never drew the Zelda 2 connection.
Zelda 2?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I could see it.
That's true.
Yeah. A lot of people in our community mentioned that this week. And speaking of our community, I know that many wrote in and played along with us this week, and we greatly appreciate that. We can't include all of your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week, but would love for you to submit your thoughts and your commentary on the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com or hop into our Discord. We've got a commentary channel there. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of our show next week. But for now, we're going to set aside GQ2 and we're going to randomly select from the Retro Master List the next game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. And it is... ...2005 is not that long ago, but it's retro.
It is now, though.
We're going to be playing a game that came out on the PC and then later for the Xbox 360.
Okay,
interesting.
Maybe a good sign.
It went gold.
On Billboard Top 40? What do you mean?
Yeah, Billboard Top 40.
Okay.
Published by Activision, and the re-release was published by Bethesda.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a military science fiction first-person shooter.
Not for me.
Okay.
We have played another game in the series on the podcast. This is the fourth in the title. We are going to be playing Quake 4.
The way you described it was such a good fake out.
Are you ready for it? Do you want to do this?
Yeah, I do now.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that that's where we were landing.
Weren't either. Following.
Wait, Quake 4 is like the big one, I think. The one that
is
like,
that the yeah. like the notable one?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
so.
All the Quake series is beloved, right?
Yeah, but, all of them. But Quake 4 in particular, I think, is the one that was like... Maybe it was just when I was growing up, it was the big one, but I'm excited. Well,
I mean, it went gold on the Billboard Top 40.
It did. It beat out Britney. That's crazy.
So find a copy of Quake 4 and play it along with us this week.
Join our Discord because I have a question that I need answered. Nickelback did Quake soundtrack? No, someone else. System of a Down? Answer my question. Oh, you probably know. Discord.gg/newgameplus. Join our community. Answer my question. Leave commentary on Quake 4.
You can also support our podcast by going to patreon.com. And you'll be joining the likes of Mark and Marshall, who are patrons for the first time. You'll be joining the likes of Adam, who has become a producer level supporter for the first time. Thanks, Adam. And we got a whole bunch of other producers as well, including the following people: Amarly and Antonin, Ben Brunt, Captain Protein, Dan, D.H. Bowser, Francesca, Gimpin, Joey, Jordan, J. Robert, Justin, Clint, Nick, Nack, Corey, Maxima, Mr. Latte's Novel Sage, and Shauna Thomas, Unbedavable William, and Zion. Humongous thanks to Brojim and Garlisle, our director level supporters. You guys are better than this game was this week.
Shut up.
Oh man. Hey, you can follow us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, and YouTube. All of those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice and subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. While you're at it, please leave a kind rating and review. Our video episode was edited by our friend Dylan. Our audio episode this week in particular was edited by our good long lost lover and friend Tom Tate.
It's power time.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, welcome back. We know you haven't gone anywhere. You're with us for our Christmas cast for a little bit.
Yeah.
And host. You've been around. We've missed you. Thank you for hopping in and doing this guest edit because our regular producer and editor, Dan, is out. He just had his newborn child. So congratulations.
Congrats.
And that's thank big. You, Tom. Join us next week as we play Quake 4. Until then. I'm still Firebrand.
I'm still certain that gargoyles are made of stone.
I'm 9-inch nails.
I'm Nickelback, and this has been New Game Plus.
Nickelback did not do Quake soundtrack.
I did. Imagine that.
Why I laughed during Kenny's thing.
I think someone should rework the OST with Nickelback.
Please,
Nickelback songs.
That's so bad.